All right, we're going in 3, 2, 1. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first ever JavaScript for WordPress show, where we talk with JavaScript for WordPress influencers about their experience learning JavaScript deeply over the years, as well as their suggestions for all of us on how we can learn JavaScript more deeply. So I'm very excited to welcome our first guest to the show, Roy Sivan. Please say hello, Roy. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Going very well. Very excited to have you here. For those who don't know, Roy is not only a developer who works with Angular and WordPress pretty well, but he's also an educator and has done a lynda.com course on single-page web apps with Angular, as well as published a lot of free resources, and is now in a capacity where he's helping us write about these different projects out in the wild that are using JavaScript and the API, and we're very excited to have him as part of our team and also on the show here. So, welcome
to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. He's also heads up and runs the WP Crowd, runs it, part of it, leader of the pack, from my observations, it seems. So, also, you can find him on WP Crowd. Very good show. And that's been going for a while now, right?
Yeah, we're a little over a year now of running episodes. We're not your more typical podcast because we don't care if we don't make an episode, if we don't record every single week. We're like, eh. But yeah, we record when we want to, and we're trying to push out every week. But obviously, you know, schedules and life come in the way, so we are not sticklers to that. But yeah, I wouldn't say I run it, more so I'm part of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do a lot of the legwork for, you know, running and recording, but for the most part, it's a big team project.
Nice. Yeah, and if you haven't checked that out, please do. I enjoy and often learn. There's some great variety of guests and folks and topics on there too. So speaking of great things out there, before we get into asking our first questions and learning more from Roy here, I want to take a moment to plug our sponsors for the show, which we don't officially have yet, so I'm in the wonderful position of being able to plug whoever I want. And I'd like today to encourage all of you to go and check out adayofrest.hm. This is the website for A Day of Rest, which is kind of become the conference on the WordPress API and kind of JavaScript-driven development. So it's outside of that WordCamp experience. It's in that sense of a true conference around WordPress. But man, the presenters that they have there are all pros doing this day in, day out. There are a lot of people work at like WordPress VIP shops. And then there's 2 days of full workshops on everything. I'm doing one on Intro to JavaScript, which is all part one of my course. And then Wes Boss, what, is going to be there. He's doing a React one. And then all these WordPress pros are doing little one-offs on workshops and things. So please just go check that out. And if you're trying to position yourself to be in this market, you got to start showing up to these events and connecting with these people that are going to be there. So that's a word from our not sponsors yet. Maybe they'll sponsor the show. That would be awesome. Human Made, come sponsor us. So feeling restful, the Day of Rest conference, please go check it out. And that's my unofficial sponsor plug right there. So with that said, Roy, tell us a little bit about Roy outside of the WordPress and JavaScript and working at Disney World, although maybe Adventures at Disney's are a part of your non-work life, but just to hear a little bit about, you know, personality, likes, interests, that sort of thing.
So I, outside of work or outside of, I guess, the WordPress realm, you'll find me enjoying my time. I guess you can say, you know, once I started working for Disney, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak. I usually just happen to be wearing a Disney shirt at any given moment because I have added quite a few to my collection of apparel. But yeah, I mean, like when you work for Disney, if you don't enjoy Disney in itself and in all of its kind of capacities, then you're not going to have a good time working there. Mm. So yeah, a lot of my outside time is, you know, spent like frolicking around Disneyland or anything, but, you know,
I have this picture now, by the way.
Yes. I'll go there every now and then. I do like watching obviously the Disney movies and stuff like that, but outside of that, no, I mean, I'm a computer geek in and out. So I do spend a lot of my time coding random things, or when I have finally some free time, I will, you know, look at what else I can code. Obviously, recently, I'm married, so working on you know, obviously newlywed life and just everything that entails. And I don't know, I have a good time. I enjoy life outside of work, but work for me is a hobby. Like, it was a hobby that turned into my full-time job. So it's really hard to kind of differentiate the two a lot.
I don't think you're probably alone in that. And where are you based about?
Well, sorry, I'm based in Southern California. So nice. I work here in the Los Angeles area. And I moved down here for school when I came down here for college. Oh, cool. I was actually from the Bay Area. So still a California boy, but I was...
Probably boy, huh?
Yeah, I was born and raised in San Francisco. Loved it. I still love it up there. But I came down to LA and really just fell in love with the weather more than anything. And kind of just stayed for the weather. And obviously, my career path has led me to stay down here.
Yeah, well, you're planted in a nice place. Yeah, this, I have a sweatshirt on here. We're recording right outside DC in the winter time right now, and still chilly. So, you know, like they say, the right coast, right? Something like that.
Yeah, West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right now Florida is actually a little bit warmer than California.
have that here in the east. That's our southerly retreat. Yeah. All right, well, great, cool. Good to hear a little bit more about you. Now we're going to jump in our JavaScript time machine and go back to, do you remember your very first line of JavaScript?
I don't know if I remember my very, very first line. I do remember it being jQuery. So my intro into JavaScript, or my path into JavaScript, started with jQuery. So I'd imagine my first line of code was probably something simple, like a fade out, or a fade in, and maybe like a trigger type function of like a click or hover.
Man, those are game changers when you first get into JavaScript, aren't they? You're like, wow, I could slide and toggle and do
things. Yes.
Click.
As soon as I figured out that you, because I mean, obviously back then CSS3 animations weren't really a thing. Mm-hmm. Even like hover on CSS wasn't really that big of a deal back then. So just having a way to do hover effects was all done through JavaScript and jQuery.
Oh, good God. You're taking me back to all the mouse out, mouse over days of image swatching, swapping for URLs and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it was. It was around that time. I want to say CSS, like early days of CSS 2, where, yeah, it was even like, yeah, hover wasn't even browser supported yet. So I learned how to do like a fade out, and I'm like, what is this madness? This is and yeah, I never really looked back after that. I figured out that this was like what I wanted to do, because I loved interacting with the kind of the screen. So, you know, so
it's cool. It's a rewarding place to be and to see things happening. I could definitely hear that. So, you know, kind of the main mantra, I guess, around what my work has been doing and even the show is spinning out of is this whole learn JavaScript deeply, which we, you know, have all heard at this point. We've had some, the kind of buzz went up and then I think kind of faded, but I love talking with you because I remember early on, right after this assignment came out and everybody's talking, you're like, hey man, I was saying this like 2 years ago. And you had Angular themes out for JavaScript before even there was a ton of attention on API and other stuff. And so this learning JavaScript deeply is obviously a long-term path. And I was curious if you could take us from that first time when you're like, oh, here's some jQuery madness I could throw into becoming someone who was doing JavaScript in the WordPress space. And then along the way, where were there points where you're like, oh man, I'm going to have to dig in deeper and learn more. And I need to learn more than just how to click something, or maybe, you know, when you had to learn Angular, or maybe even up to now, like what are you kind of faced with? You're like, okay, I have to dig in deeper, because I think some people may have the illusion that eventually we just learn everything. And that's, I don't think the truth for pretty much any of us until we decide to do something else and retire from that area. So could you take us through maybe a few stories or different times when you've had to dig in deeper and decide, oh man, I'm going to need to learn JavaScript or the surrounding technologies a little bit more?
So basically let me just start with, let's just say that beginning jQuery phase. And I started to really dig into jQuery and learn jQuery. And I realized very quickly that understanding jQuery, learning jQuery was very different than learning JavaScript. Mm. And I relate this very well or very closely to WordPress in general, because you can learn WordPress and how to code for WordPress, but that doesn't mean you're learning PHP. I mean, you're learning how to kind of maybe some syntax here and there, but you're not learning core PHP. And eventually you're going to come to a point, if this is your path, if development is your path, and let's say you're more of a backend developer, you're going to find a point where WordPress code isn't going to, you know, fill a gap, or it's not going to complete something, and you're going to have to learn some vanilla PHP. That's exactly where I left off. I was doing some jQuery work, and one day I figured there was something I was doing, and I think probably another developer who was a good friend of mine, roommate at the time, looked at what I was doing and was like, you could do this in like half the lines if you just use JavaScript, vanilla JavaScript. Mm. And I'm like, So, lightning bulb moment. I started to dig into, you know, vanilla JavaScript. And I wouldn't say that I just got rid of jQuery altogether. More so, I just started leveraging what I knew from jQuery. Syntax really was a big deal. Learning, like, now that I knew how JavaScript itself was coded, like the actual characters involved. And
how did you learn that? Because I think that that's a pretty fundamental transition you're talking about, going from the jQuery era, as you call it, or phase. We all had that teenage phase. We had our jQuery phase. How did you learn, besides having that great opportunity of somebody pointed out to you? So it sounds like you had another person involved, but at that time, was it books, online resources? How did you teach?
Back then it was 99% online resources. Like, I think I had a couple books just because I love buying books in general. Like, I always go to like Barnes and Noble or whatever, and I'm like, I got to buy something, even if I can't read it. And so I had like a JavaScript book here and there. I had a jQuery book, but 99% of it was W3 schools.
Classic.
Very classic website to kind of learn and go through. And what was that? And just a couple other ones. I mean, Stack Overflow wasn't even really a thing back then. So W3 schools was around, and just reading documentation and looking at what other people are doing. A lot of forums and, I can't even forget. I have to say IRC. I was on IRC all the time, and I was on a whole bunch of channels from JavaScript to jQuery. Basically, anytime I picked anything up, I would enter, find a channel for it, and just keep. And, you know, and for those kind of things, those are little communities in themselves. So anytime I needed help, I knew that I'd have to get involved and help someone else first, just to get my brand or reputation.
Yep.
And then when I needed help, someone, you know, it might take like a day, but someone will get back to me. That's how I kind of learned. And as far as like how I learned, it was all learned by doing. It wasn't read, now I understand. I'm sure not the only one, but I'm more of a learn by doing kind of person. So I would just challenge myself to build something, or I would learn through just my current projects, and then debugging, obviously. Debugging was a huge thing.
Wow, that is awesome. So I just want to highlight for folks again, because you made some really great points here, that in addition to W3 schools, which I don't think when you share what you're trying to dig deep into now, that that's necessarily your go-to resource. But at the time, that was a great online, very easy to find, came up in all the search terms, but also the IRC. And that's like a more in-person community. And what you said about wanting to help others, to help build up, you know, kind of the community and reputation and trust, so that when you needed help from others, and I think that that's so big. And a quick plug to my students, I'm encouraging a lot of you to start learning JavaScript deeply, blogs or resources for other people, and plugging into where you could help them. Because as you're pointing out, this first kind of transition you mentioned is like into learning JavaScript itself. And that's awesome. So once you began to learn this and had a better understanding and intertwined them, where was kind of the next point where you had to dig deep once again? Or was it just a kind of continual ongoing? I don't want to assume your story either is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was always a continual thing. I always say, and you'll see this, you'll hear this in the Be Crowd episodes and any of my talks, you'll hear that, you know, I have the ABCs of being a developer. It's always be coding. And I always say always be learning. So you got to always be learning something. I realized very quickly in the past year, it's easier said than done. Like I used to have a whole bunch of free time. So, you know, working between freelance work, I'd be able to learn something new. And then I took a full-time job and I took another, you know, as my full-time jobs became more and more stressed or more part of my routine where it was taking up more and more of my time, as it should. I mean, it's fine.
Yes, I was, things happen.
Yeah, and as life was also taking over, like, you know, obviously getting married, stuff like that, there's a lot more implications with that. So just a lot of that free time that I had is now gone and is now shifted to other things. So that's fine. It's just always, it's harder to find that time to learn something new. But I always try to find time for it. And then I'd say the next big leap was Angular. And the biggest thing, and I've said this at my WordCamp talks, and it's probably like one of my favorite things to say because it's kind of controversial.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, we're ready. Bring the controversy, Roy.
The biggest thing I can recommend to anyone who wants to take a leap into anything, whether it's JavaScript, PHP, I mean, for me, it was JavaScript, put away WordPress. Like, stop using WordPress altogether.
Ooh, he went there, folks. He's dogging on WordPress.
Yeah, so, like, at my WordCamp, somewhere there's a screen picture of me at WordCamp LA a couple years back or something where I just had one big red background slide and it just said, stop using WordPress. Those are my favorite pictures because in that moment in time, I was actually living with my former roommate again. I moved back up to San Francisco for a little bit and I was kind of crashing with him working remotely. And, we were just talking one night and, it's still kind of the stigma today where WordPress isn't like the developer, platform, right? If you walk into a group of hardcore developers who are doing like React work and stuff, and you say, hey, I'm a WordPress developer, they're going to be like, that guy. But
sorry, folks, there's a bit of truth to that. Stay in your WordPress bubble for now. The water's warm, but yeah.
It's not as bad as it used to be, that's for sure.
That's true.
It used to be pretty bad. So basically, I saw that, and I also saw that I was getting to the higher point of WordPress. Like, I'm like, okay, I know how to do WordPress. Why I'm not learning anything else at this point. I'm just learning maybe how to do it a little bit better, learning tips and tricks with WordPress, not learning anything completely brand new. Yeah. So it was randomly like one day we bought huge wall-sized whiteboard things. Like we went to Home Depot and they have like, it's really meant for like putting on the wall and I don't know what it's called. But it's like drywall basically, but it's like a shiny drywall, which you can use dry erase markers on it and you can erase.
Gotcha.
Like we were looking online for dry erase boards and they were like, whatever, $100. And we're like, let's just go to Home Depot and buy these big things. And we bought like these two humongous
DIY things. Wall whiteboards.
Yeah. Right, and it was like these two huge things and we paid like $20 for them. And so I was just sitting there and my friend gets up and goes, I'm going to teach you Angular like right now. And so I had my laptop open. He starts drawing out some of the basics of Angular and fundamentally how it works. And by that afternoon, I had run, I'd put together my first like Angular theme. It was an intense day. It was like an intense day
when the student is ready, the teacher appears, folks. It's a mystical truth, but man, I, for my own life, there's been some truth to it too. And it sounds like in yours, man, that it, that's an amazing, cool opportunity. But I also want to say, folks, it's maybe not out of your reach, even though you might not be living and shacking up with an Angular professional. That's cool. Okay. Sorry. Keep going. Well, you got the wall boards up. You got, you're going to learn Angular in a day and you're done.
I mean, obviously it was just the very, very fundamental basics. It was like, for those familiar with Angular, it was like learning how to do ng repeat and fundamentally how it works. And Angular 1, for, all the criticism it may have, is a great, great library or like framework to learn, to jump into these advanced frameworks, because it really goes back in time to where all you had was HTML, because 90% of what you're doing in Angular is actually just HTML attributes. Kind of like in HTML, you have like an image tag and then source equals, you know, the actual URL for the image. Angular is powered, or like the templates are powered 90% through that kind of stuff. There's all the JavaScript that powers that, but for the most part, when you're templating, it's all stuff like in HTML. And a lot of people, and this is why I like talking about it, because when I did my WordCamp talks on Angular and used Angular 1X, people that are designers or like entry-level developers, they're like, oh, I get that, because it's just HTML in the end.
Yeah.
I understood it very, very quickly. My biggest issue was he didn't know, my mentor, my roommate didn't know WordPress that well. So he's trying to explain to me later in the day how to connect all of this to a service, like an API.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know, there's APIs and you get the data I was completely lost. I was like, I don't understand any of this. Like, what do you mean? So what I did was basically I took what I knew, right? So I leveraged what I knew, which is WordPress. And I said, let me just create a WordPress theme and let's see what happens, right?
Let's see what happens when we drop it in.
Yes. First thing, REST API, non-existent back then. it did not exist yet. It was 2013, I think was the year. So what I did was I used admin Ajax. So I used default WordPress Ajax kind of integration, which is supposed to be only done on the admin side. But back then, everyone used it on the front end for Ajax calls too. And I was just returning JSON. I would like do get posts, return posts, you know, as a JSON object.
Your own little internal API just to generate out some JSON content. Okay.
I quickly got that running. I wrote a blog post about it on my blog. So I always reference that because that's like D-Day for my Angular, right? That's like when it first started.
And this is why you have to share your experiences, because you think you're like at the bottom of learning, but really for other people, it's huge and it's going to mark these things. So that's awesome. I love
it. No, it was a blog post and I immediately put it on GitHub. So between those two, I can always go back to the very day and look at the date of my first commit or look at the blog post release day and see, all right, this is when it first started, like when my Angular passion started or when I took JavaScript to the next level. It's cool to see because it's also, I also kept on updating it. Like at the bottom of the blog post, I kept on coming back and updating it. So there was a version of the Angular theme that had, and I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you even know, there was a plugin, I don't know if it's still around, called Thermal API.
No, that doesn't ring a bell.
So Thermal API was another API plugin that came out before the REST API project.
I know a few people had experimented with different things.
It was very, very limited in what it could do. And I found myself modifying it a lot before I could get it to work with my already existent and working Angular theme.
Interesting.
So I quickly got rid of that. And I think like a week later, I stumbled across a Google Summer of Code project by Ryan McHugh. And
that was
the API project. I mean, I wanted to commit to it. I was like, hey, I have some additions for this because I already had a whole bunch of code in my functions file, right? Like ready to go. I'm like, hey, I have comments and I have sidebar working and I have a menu walker working that spits out menu in a JSON. And he's like, no, I can't do anything because it's a Google Summer Code project. I can't like, he couldn't. There were some like stipulations there. I don't remember exactly how, I don't know how exactly how that works, but I remember it was like, basically the whole project was on pause. But I took what he had and I'm like, all right, let me use this thing. It was like 10 times better than Thermal and it wasn't my functions file. So it was like that whole process. Yeah, that was, and I just kept on updating it from there. And it's still, still updating it.
And is that the Angular theme that when we go on to your GitHub, are you even, we have coming into the JavaScript course, we'll have a little write-up featuring it there, but this is the same one that's still been growing and growing. Wow. Since
2013, it went through all the version 1 of the API. I had it all running. I had to refactor it for version 2 of the API when version 2 came out. And as of yesterday morning, there is now a working but not styled, it's getting there. It just started working, an Angular 2 version of the whole thing.
Whoa, that is cool, man. Congratulations.
I've been procrastinating Angular 2 for a very long time now. And yesterday morning I had a little bit of time. I got into the office exceedingly early.
Well, let me actually, I'm going to jump in and pause you there because maybe this could be kind of a last little story and segment. Not that there probably weren't things between kind of releasing that first Angular, but I know for folks going into TypeScript and Angular 2, there are some different things. Could you maybe paint us a bigger picture of what you're about to explain and kind of what the process was like transitioning through that? And how you did that, resources, et cetera.
I mean, honestly, Angular 2 and React are kind of this I don't want to call it a civil war because they're both JavaScript, but they're kind of butting heads right now, right? Like the communities in JavaScript in general are, as of right now, you're either a React person or you're an Angular person. And then there's like a small percentage of others out there, right? There's Ember and there's Knockout. There's a whole bunch of other libraries out there, fine. But the main two beasts in the JavaScript world right now are React and Angular. The problem I had recently in the past, probably the past 2 years or so, was both of those projects were constantly being updated because they're constantly being worked on, and they weren't really, neither of them are release candidate or production ready yet. They're both in RC at best.
Do you mean Angular 2 and React?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I haven't kept up with React, so maybe by now React's already in V1, but I know that Angular 2 at this moment is still in RC. But every time I would sit down and learn anything with either of them, and I have a React portal, I have a few React things out there. I'd like sit down and update it like a month later and everything would break. Same with Angular. It was the same. Angular 2 was the same process. It was, I'd sit down and learn it, go through a couple tutorials, and boom, like a month later, it would all break. So I'd say the process, high level process for the whole thing is understanding that when you're learning something, you have to be really specific and when you're dealing with bleeding edge technology, stick to the version that your tutorials and your walkthroughs go through. It became super crucial for me because I was quickly learning, going through tutorials, like trying to figure out like debugging, right? And then as I'm going through one tutorial, trying to debug an issue, I realized that they're on a completely different version. It no longer supports something, or other way around. It was an older version, which used to support something now doesn't. And so versioning is super crucial when you're on bleeding edge technology.
Yeah.
If you're not a bleeding edge technology kind of person, if you are a, hey, I want to learn JavaScript deeply, but I don't want to spend, you know, a year trying to keep up with what's going on, just wait for a release version. Wait for version 1.x to come out, and just stick with that. And usually, for the most part, any major version, so anything with the first number in the version being the same, is going to be work with every other version, typically.
So your 1.x versus 2.x.
Yeah, so 1.x, that's the major version. Stick to that version until, and, you know, that. But that's the release version. Make sure it's not a RC, not a alpha, beta, whatever. You know, make sure that it's a production-ready release, a released version, and stick to that. As far as, like, what I did to learn, like, where I went, resources I went to, I started out with Front-End Masters. So Front-End Masters is another...
Love them. Frontendmasters.com. Good.
Yeah. So I purchased into Front-End Masters a little while ago, and I actually sat on it for about 6 months, not using it at all. But I had like I went in with a group purchase. So they gave us a nice discount.
Nice.
So I was like, all right, fine. I'll just buy into it. Never know. I found that for me, it didn't work very well. I found an Angular 2 course they had, and I sat there and I tried following along with them, but I wasn't sure if it was just the classroom style that they have.
For those who haven't seen, it's you're seeing someone record like it's in a college classroom. There's kind of a whiteboard behind them, and they're at a computer, and there's kind of some questions in occasion. So that's very much their model. Everything shot in a live workshop.
So I wasn't sure if it was that or the fact that it wasn't almost not intro enough, because as soon as he started typing JavaScript out, it took me a second to realize that that wasn't regular JavaScript, it was actually TypeScript. So for those who are still learning JavaScript and what all that
means, if you could tell us a little bit about what that means.
JavaScript as you know it, you know, as you might see it right now in any WordPress theme, is a version of JavaScript, you know, its syntax. There's a new version coming out, which I think is starting to get more and more support. It's called ES6. Don't ask me what that stands for, I should know.
ECMAScript 6, which is just the version number of the ECMAScript standard that JavaScript is based on.
So ES6 is coming out, and people are using it very heavily, and it's great. I love ES6 for the most part. I won't say that I use it enough. I need to use it more. But ES6 is kind of moving its way into being the standard for JavaScript code for, let's say, advanced projects, right? Like maybe not your typical WordPress theme, although I know agencies that use it for WordPress themes, but for your more advanced projects, ES6 is the way to go. TypeScript is actually a subset of ES6, and Angular 2 is built on TypeScript. And what that means is the syntax is completely different, but in essence, it should make your life easier. It should make your life, it should make everything faster. You should be able to code a little bit faster. I relate it to, it's hard to kind of create an analogy for that that's simple, but essentially it's taking, easy example would be SAS. SAS or LESS, which are pre-compiled CSS. TypeScript is kind of like a version of that. Where
like how CoffeeScript would work if folks had ever used...
Yeah, if you use CoffeeScript, it's a very good example where... Basically, you're writing out JavaScript, but you're writing it out in a completely different syntax, which should essentially make your life easier and should make your life more efficient if you know how to do it properly. And it includes a lot of linting and a lot of testing. Everything's kind of built into it. So it's a really cool thing to kind of know. I don't know TypeScript or ES6 nearly enough. I'm still kind of part of my learning process. But those are things that I'm learning along the way. I'm not specifically spending my time learning that specifically. I'm learning Angular 2, and while I'm learning Angular 2, I'm also kind of learning by default TypeScript, which is then ES6.
So that's really interesting. I just want to throw in a few things here just to clarify. So in one sense, so ECMAScript or ES6 is the sixth version, which was released in 2015. So ES6 is JavaScript officially standardized their standard for 2015. Then ES7 was the content for 2016. And now we're going to the ES8, which is 2017. And TypeScript is kind of being, this is the official standardization of JavaScript, of what JavaScript is based on. And TypeScript is kind of being done outside of it. But what's happened with ECMAScript and or with ES6 is that things that were developed outside of it, like a lot of CoffeeScript stuff, we then begin seeing coming in to the JavaScript language. So there is kind of maybe that, I don't know if that will happen with this as well, but right now you're right that so TypeScript is sitting at a higher level. You're typing things that then get compiled into native JavaScript, but you're not, what you're writing isn't always exactly what the standard looks like, is one thing. And then the other thing that I like what you said is that you're learning TypeScript via learning Angular 2. And I have heard even some pros in the field say, oh, I'll get to Angular 2, but I just need to learn TypeScript first. And so this brings up this interesting thing of like, what do you do when the main technology you want involves these other supplemental technologies? And it sounds like your approach is to kind of continually just trudge forward with the main one, picking up the side technologies, which we'd call TypeScript to Angular 2 along the way. Does that sound?
I pick up the library or the framework and I continuously learn that. And then I learn the fundamentals or the underpinnings of it while I'm learning kind of that library. So it goes back to my very first line of JavaScript. I learned jQuery first because it was easier to learn. Mm-hmm. And through learning jQuery, I learned JavaScript. I didn't spend time specifically learning JavaScript. I spent time learning jQuery. And in essence, that helped me learn JavaScript easier. So when I needed to do vanilla JavaScript, or nowadays when I need to look at vanilla ES6 or anything like that, it's become a lot easier for me because I've now know the context, I know the syntax.
Yeah.
I won't say it's the same because TypeScript syntax is a little bit different. It's definitely not as easy as it used to be to learn. I would say that. I spent all this time talking about Angular 2. React has its own set of tools that it runs off of. It uses something called JSX for its templating and stuff like that, which is a whole nother beast. If you're just getting into JavaScript, I still always recommend learning jQuery first. In fact, I'm tutoring someone right now on jQuery because I want them to learn JavaScript.
Yes.
And it's a lot easier to do that than it is pick up some of the newer technologies because there's just so much change that's going on right now. And so many things you have to learn. And it's not even, and there's just so much more involved to it. Another thing that I would also say that if you're getting into some of this really advanced stuff that's out there now, Angular 2, React, it's not, hey, let me throw some jQuery code up and queue that file. You can't do that anymore. Now there's whole build processes around how to get that code to work in your browser. And like,
yes,
that process needs to be learned as well. Which is, again, I highly recommend finding tutorials, make sure to stick to those versions, but tutorials, any type of learning website. For me, I ended up on lynda.com. And I did an Angular 2 tutorial there, and I got my first Angular 2 little non-WordPress thing running, and I was like, finally, it's something's running in Angular 2. I'm so happy.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Oh, man, you're so right. And what a feeling that is. And some of these new technologies, it's not like just learning jQuery where you throw a few lines in and it works. Like, you have to do the build tool, you have to get it all working, and then you have to get it into WordPress if that's your goal. And so it is a major victory when it just like runs just when you're starting. So this is amazing, man. And we're kind of coming up here on the last big question and send off I want to ask you. But first, we're going to do a quick pause and word from our not yet existing sponsors. Folks, I really want to encourage you March 8th through 11th, day of rest.hm, checking it now. March 8th through 10th in Boston, a Day of Rest conference. Really want to encourage you to come check it out. It's all going to be centered around this kind of stuff and people like Rory. I don't know, Rory, are you going to be out there this year? Speaking of encouraging folks to come.
Day of Rest. I really want to go. I'm kind of putting everything on my 2017 calendar together. I don't know if I can justify going out there for that.
It is a little bit further for those on the West Coast, but what I'll say to that is like this company is kind of being, or I'm sorry, the conference is being run by the folks at HumanMade. And I know that this is their first one in the state. So if you're on the East Coast and you can make it, let's do it and let's like pack this conference so that then they are encouraged to come out to the West Coast. Then we all go see Roy out there and make it easier for folks who can't. But that's my little plug for them. Again, check out adayofrest.hm and you'll find the details on the conference and all of that.
Yeah, early March is March in general is going to be a busy month. I think Miami is in March. And
at the end of March. Yep, this is at the middle beginning.
WordCamp San Diego just announced, I think, a couple days ago. They're also in March. So March is going to be a busy month. So I need to plan it out. I will try to get out there if I can.
Cool. Well, we hope to see you. If not, we'll all sign up for that Hi Roy service and just through there. So link in the show notes. All right, let's come down to this last question. And really, it comes down to what you think it means to learn JavaScript deeply. And the only way I'll preface that is by what I hear sometimes is, well, yeah, I'm going to learn JavaScript deeply, or people's reaction to learn JavaScript deeply. And they're like, okay, I need to go learn React, or I need to like, how does this API plug in? And we jump to buzzwords sometimes. But I think that Matt did a great job of giving us this huge homework assignment and not defining any learning objectives around what it means to learn JavaScript deeply. So I have my thoughts. I was hoping you could just kind of tell us what you think this means to you and to other people.
It's a very fair assessment because it is true. I find that a lot of people haven't yet defined what deeply really means. And I'm not even sure 100%. And I'm not even sure. I'm almost inclined to be all like spiritual about it and say maybe the fact that it doesn't have a meaning is its meaning.
He just gave us a nice little Zen koan there. Okay, maybe.
Right? Like the fact that everyone has a different definition of what learn deeply means is fine. And everyone is right. Like no one person is wrong, because to each person deeply is something completely different, and that's fine. Now BS aside, what do I think it really means?
That's a really good answer, though, and I think on so many levels you're right, especially that it means something different to different people. But that said, I think you're about to quantify a little bit.
If I ask someone, do you know JavaScript deeply, right? Like, I would never, ever ask anyone that. But, like, if I just said, hey, do you know JavaScript enough, right? Are you professional? Do you sell JavaScript services, aside from basic jQuery, right? Basic fundamentals, easy stuff. I would expect them to be able to, and again, this goes to my little controversial point. I would expect them to know how to do JavaScript outside of the WordPress context. I want to see more people be able to pick up some of the stuff that we're working on or people are working on outside of WordPress that might integrate with WordPress, but doesn't necessarily live in the WordPress ecosystem, right? And then that would allow them to then bring in new things into the WordPress ecosystem, and maybe might open their minds up a little bit to what WordPress can be. So one of the things that a lot of people, or that I've been working on kind of not enough, but one of my GitHub projects is a brand new backend, right? Like a brand new UI, to the WordPress dashboard.
It's something
I've been wanting to work on probably since about 2014. I learned Angular 2013. API started to roll out, and I'm like, this is what we need to do. We need to create a new backend. Like,
rebuilding it, baby. I know the feeling.
Like, there has to be a new backend. And I think we'll get there. I said learn JavaScript like years before Matt said it. So maybe the train will catch up to me. Like, people will be like, oh, okay. But I started working in corporate America. You know, I work for a large company, a very large company. And I realized that this is like I work in the one area where WordPress hasn't really taken over yet. Like, granted, I do WordPress for my day job. And WordPress is used a lot. It's still not a corporate America enterprise level tool yet. It's a blog tool still in enterprise. It's still a kind of a low level website tool. In order to really take it to the next level, this is where JavaScript really is going to come into play. It's going to change the way people interact with WordPress. And really the API is what is going to be underlining all of that. Like, JavaScript wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff without the API. Now that the API is
on your functions.php code.
Yeah, exactly. Now that 4.7 has the API in core with all of its endpoints.
It's huge.
It's a huge, huge thing. Now JavaScript.
API and core dance.
Oh man, I was so happy when I heard that the rest of it was coming in. I was like, finally. Finally, we don't need to have a plugin installed anymore, and we can just kind of, I can just have my code there.
You know, it's funny. When I was at Treehouse, I was like, people are like, oh, when are you going to teach the API? I was like, oh, when it gets in core. And I started this JavaScript course a year ago, and it still wasn't in core. So it's officially in core now, and in 2017, we'll actually be getting to it. Because like you said, learning outside of WordPress, I just want to throw this in, and then I'm going to let you close out. But learning JavaScript outside of WordPress is huge. And in my course, like part one, 20 some hours, probably more by the time we're really done of content, we don't touch WordPress once. And so we build a full, you know, web app with just native JavaScript. And then at the very end, we're like, oh, let's get some data from the API and just toss it in. And I think that you're right, like, to kind of really begin learning, putting WordPress aside from time to time in this context, can be helpful.
Yeah, I think you need to. And I think that's, in my definition, again, I'm still going to stick with everyone's definition is correct.
I love that.
In my definition, I think it means being able to do JavaScript work outside of the WordPress ecosystem, and then connecting to it when and if you need it. It's just, that is how I define it. And I think that's going to allow people to really move forward. And if they want to be professional developers, that's what they're going to have to do if they want to be professional front-end developers, specifically. And you know what? There's nothing that really, I don't see too many downsides besides the learning curve and the process it takes to learn something new. As a freelancer consultant, you're going to find yourself also making more money being able to take JavaScript code outside of the WordPress and just do JavaScript work. Because it's a little more lucrative right now to be doing that. I mean, that's what the marketplace is like.
Speak the truth, man. So for those of you who are kind of starting off WordPress devies, want to get more stable work, want to take care of yourself and your family around this, like picking up your JavaScript, it's going to increase your WordPress budgets because you'll be able to do more, provide more for clients, but it also opens up huge doors outside of WordPress. And we're 25% of the web. There's a big other percent that's running JavaScript, and now more and more even just with API, what JavaScript can do on top. So I thank you for all this, man. And I was thinking just the last thing you could close out with is a list of your own resources that you've kind of, whether you have a lot of projects, you have an online course, you have a great blog. Could you just kind of share some of this with folks so they could go dig deeper into, you know, your story and experience and some of your resources?
So definitely check out thewpcrowd.com. That is my main podcast / that's not really mine. As I said, it's kind of a community that revolves around a podcast and blog articles. One of the coolest things we have on there is a series of posts by Chris Flanagan, who did a series of tutorials on how to create a native script app. So that's a native application using the native script library powered by WordPress. So cool. Here's a great example of someone really doing something outside of WordPress and just powering it with WordPress, but it's completely outside of the, it's not in an ecosystem, it's not a theme, it's not a plugin. So the WPCrowd.com, definitely check out my lynda.com AngularJS application as its course.
Yes.
Just go to lynda.com and search for Roy Sivan and you'll find it. I'm sorry if at that time you're watching it, it's out of date. It's already kind of out of date right now. But it will give you some great fundamentals on how to work with the API.
I agree. I love that course. I took it like as soon as it came out.
And it does teach you Angular 1X, which I find a lot easier than Angular 2 for someone who's just starting out. I think it's a better place to start.
Yeah.
And just to get the understanding of how Angular works. And I'd say the last thing for me personally, I do have my own website, roysivan.com. I try to blog on there as much as I can, but I've been so sidetracked with other things that I haven't been really good about it. But you can go there and then link out to my GitHub, follow me on Twitter from there. That's really kind of my...
And what's your Twitter handle?
Royboy789. Actually, anywhere on the internet you want to find me for the most part, it's Royboy789. GitHub, Twitter, anywhere you can really think of. It's the same. I have the same username. But my GitHub is where I put all my new code. So if you just want to see what I'm working on, check out my GitHub, also Royboy789. And I'm always pushing new code when I can. Has all my little pet projects on it. And some of my other stuff's on there.
Yay! So this is not the last you will be hearing from or seeing Roy's work in association with this JavaScript for WordPress kind of show and master course. As I mentioned, I'm very excited. Roy has been helping us behind the scenes writing the free projects that go out to the community. Remember, part four projects are all free. Not only has he written some of the tutorials, but some of these projects we're featuring actually are going to be a good portion your projects, because like you've talked about, you do have these works that have grown over time and are great learning resources. So you could look for a revamp of that stuff and you'll be able to get some of Roy's projects explained a bit more and have Roy explaining some other projects a bit more. So excited. And dude, thank you again for coming on the show, being our first guest. I love hearing this story, and folks, go back, listen again. So much good information for you all, for those trying to learn JavaScript deeply. So thanks again, man.
No problem. I'd say my biggest takeaway from all of this, if anyone just wants a TLDR, you know, just wants that last snippet, is be part of the community and you'll find yourself. I had a mentor, right? I had someone who was my roommate, my friend. If you're part of the community, you'll find a person like that, and finding and having them challenge you, or basically having them help you at times and then challenge you at times, is probably the biggest thing I could recommend for anyone. Having that made me want to learn more and go more deeply into things.
Love it, man. Great send off there, folks. Join up with this community, subscribe, follow our show, share it out with your friends, please. We hope it becomes a good resource for y'all, and we're off to a great start. Again, thanks, Roy. We'll see you all again next time.